Welcome everybody to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm the Pumpkin King.
And this week, we are getting ready for Halloween. Kinda, sorta. This is not our Halloween episode yet, but I've decorated my house. Have you decorated your house?
Yeah, we've decorated a little bit. Things are crazy with like house repairs that we need to get done, but as much as we can, we totally are.
Yeah. This got way off topic already. I didn't even say what we're talking about today. We're talking about some of the latest Dragon Quest news, just doing kind of a Dragon Quest catch-up. We haven't done one of those in a while. It's been like 6 or 8 months since we've done a Dragon Quest catch-up. Now with 100% more mustard.
Aw, you made it, not me.
We make that joke like every time. I just had to make it this time too. So anyway, we're going to be talking about different Dragon Quest news that we've had over the last little bit, as well as doing just a little brief follow-up discussion on our Dragon Quest Die episode that we did last week, where we were pretty harsh on the mobile game. And we actually asked, Spotify does a new thing where you can do like polls and questions for your listeners through Anchor, which is the publishing.
Yeah.
Which is what publishes our podcast for those people listening who don't know. And so so I'm going to start trying to toy around with that. So if you listen to our podcast on Spotify, I don't know how it works, but hopefully there'll be those kind of interactions you can start doing through there if you listen to this on Spotify, so we can get some feedback from folks on there as well.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that myself because I don't listen to anything on Spotify but music, and so I never see like the podcast UI. So it's going to be interesting to see how we even do this.
Yeah. So anyway, I did ask a question on Spotify before the Die episode went up, just asking people what they thought of it on there. And either nobody responded, or I don't know how to check that, or I did not ask the question correctly and it didn't even publish. Again, I'm trying to figure all that stuff out. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that really quickly before we talk about Die.
Sure.
Generally, from, again, like we mentioned, we talked about that, hey, we're going to be harsh on this and that people have not seemed do not seem to have a good response to this game yet. Like it seems to be a pretty lukewarm reception. And based on the feedback we got for last week's episode, it seems like that was the case. Kind of like, you know how I said our listens were going to be down because of it. They were, because we talked about Die. Anytime we talk about Die, nobody wants to listen.
Nobody cares.
Not nobody.
It is
consistently, like, I think our listens were down by like around 100, which is a noticeable little dip there. And so I was like, okay, yep, it's because we talked about Die. And in terms of just people talking about it and talking about it with us, it's been pretty low too. A lot of people even told us they weren't even playing it. And the people who did mentioned playing it, they didn't completely agree with us, but I did not see anybody being like, hey, you're too tough on this game, or hey, I like this game, you guys are wrong. It seemed like most people were generally accepting of our opinions.
Yeah, and that's a little weird for me because, you know, Parade Gate, but it's like this game did not latch on with people. And I don't, like you said, I don't know if it's Die, just because it's not a typical Dragon Quest kind of game like Tact, but I don't know. It's just like, I'm not sure if they're going all in on Adventures of Die is going to be a good business proposition. It's going to be a good business decision over the long term here. Like, I'm really afraid it's going to falter based on our very tiny sample of people. Like, I saw people getting really excited for the Die anime, and then after the initial burst of that people saw some of it, that everything has just kind of fallen away, and people seem disinterested, more so than liking it or hating it. They just seem apathetic, which is the worst it can be.
We did have one question, though, from one of our patrons that asked if we played Die more after last week, because we kind of left it up in the air. I said, right. If I remember correctly, I think I said I would play it for a few more days and delete it from my phone. And that was a complete lie in every way, because I haven't deleted it from my phone, but I also have not played it anymore.
Yeah, me either. I meant to. I look at the icon, like it's still on my phone, and I look at the icon, and when I load up my phone, I'm like, I'd rather play Marvel Strike Force and click in it instead. It's like I don't want to spend the time on it, and it's just I'm disinterested in it. That, like I had said, it's just there, and I haven't had the inclination to do it. I'm glad to hear that you're the same way. Like, I'm glad to know that it wasn't just me being like, well, I've said what I have to say about it, and that game is not going to change.
It all goes back to what you said last week about there only being so much time and, like, so many things holding our attention. It's right. Like, when I've had a chance to play a game, like Die, it's like, number one, I don't like just, like, sitting on my phone for excessive periods of time. So it's like, I don't want to just sit here playing Die when, like, there's other things for me to do. You know, I'm super into Tales of Arise. I'm trying to platinum Tales of Arise right now. I'm, like, really close to the ending, like, right near the final boss.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so I'm getting there. So I've been playing that a lot when I have free time. I started playing the Spider-Man PS4 Insomniac Spider-Man game.
So good, man. I've been telling you for years.
I know. I'm 3 years late on it. It's pretty good.
I'm so glad you're playing it, though. I'm so happy that you're playing this game.
I've really enjoyed it. I don't really have too many complaints about it. There was a section where I had to play as Mary Jane and I didn't like.
Oh, I love them. I love the Mary Jane sections.
I didn't. They made her such a generic white girl with her
boots. Oh, man. See, I love Mary Jane in the Spider-Man games.
Yeah. And granted, I've only seen her once from where I'm at right now. So I don't know. But I do like, because of the way I play games, I do like just swinging around the city and like finding backpacks. Yep. And doing that kind of stuff, like that's the stuff I'm having.
The backpacks are my favorite part of the game. Like, that is my absolute favorite collection thing. I'll go out of my way to find backpacks and just see the little story that comes up when you look at the details.
Yeah, I don't look at the details. I don't care that much about it, but I like finding it.
Oh, that's where the fun stuff is. Like, it'll tell you, like, why he put it there. It's just got a little snippet of Spider-Man, like, lore in on it. And it's just so cool. And then you can look at it in three dimensions and you'll see like stuff on the back of it written and things like that a lot of times. So cool.
Yeah. I don't super care about this game or superheroes for that matter. It's just like I've been wanting to play it because of, you know, how good everyone says it is. And so it's like I'm having fun with it, but I don't care enough to go like super deep into it like that. Like I don't care enough to spend extra time on it. And I'm like playing it on easy and just getting through the story.
I love Spider-Man so much that every last bit of it I just ate up.
Yeah. Before we get back to Dragon Quest, I do want to mention we've been rewatching the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies.
Us too.
Because Naomi has been in getting into Spider-Man lately. And anyway, we watched Spider-Man 3 last night and it wasn't nearly as terrible as I remember it being.
Okay, so I watched it a couple of years ago, and that's exactly how I felt about it. Like, I'd built it up to be this complete, like, garbage movie, and it was way better than I remembered it being. It's not good, but it's way better than I remember it being. And we started watching it, I think, last week, and Jennifer was so, like, just not able to invest in it that we turned it off, like, probably 20 minutes in, and she hasn't wanted to go back yet. We're going to. But she was the one who was just like, I don't feel like trudging through a movie right now. And I was like, yeah, everything comes together. I mean, but it does still not come together good. But it's not nearly as bad as I'd built it up to in my head remembering it.
Yeah, this was the first time I've watched it since I watched it in theaters.
Oh, and okay.
Again, I don't really love superhero stuff. So I'm usually like a one and done, at least for like 10 years or 14 years.
Wow, yeah.
Kind of person. And so... but we were watching them, and maybe it's because we watched them all like back to back like this or whatever, but it's still too busy. The Venom stuff all still feels really like tacked on because it was. Yes. And I think the reason it was so disappointing to me and maybe everybody back in 2007 is because all the previews just showed the Venom stuff that only takes up the last like 20 minutes of the movie. And so everybody went in thinking they were getting a Venom movie, and instead they got a Sandman movie. Actually, they got a Peter Parker, Harry, and Mary Jane movie that just happened to have the Sandman in it. And then in the last 30 minutes, they were like, and now Venom's in it too.
And then you look at the movie and it starts out like immediately with Harry turning into the Green Goblin and attacking Peter. And it's just like, wow, Harry has no chill. It's like they are diving right in. They've got too much to do. And it's like that sets the tone for the entire movie of just being too busy. Like you said, that's a good way of putting it. Like from the get-go, it is too busy and there's too much going on. Like if they had done the movie like Raimi wanted to, instead of adding everything in that the studio demanded, it could have been a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But as it stands, it's a hot mess that is not nearly as bad as we all thought it was a long time ago. I guess looking back at it, we can see it as campy and bad now in that kind of, oh man, look at this kind of way, where this was the pinnacle of comic book and superhero movies at the time, and they crapped the bed at the time. So now that we've got the MCU, we look back at this and be like, oh, that's cute. Look at what they did. And like it's not a, definitely not a modern movie in the way that it's made in almost any way. So it's easy to look back on it and be like, that's bad, but it's that kind of fun bad.
Yeah, I don't know. And I still like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies better than anything the MCU has done. So that's probably an unpopular opinion. But
I love the MCU, I love them. Like they're right up there with them. Like it's not an either or thing for me. It's like I like the Spider-Man movies probably. If I were to rank like all of them together, the Spider-Man movies would be in the top half of like Marvel movies in general, like right there in the top quarter to a third with them. Like they're fantastic. I love them.
Yeah. Anyway, so all of this is to say that because of having only so much time in the day, I've been spending my time doing those things instead of playing, you know, a subpar mobile game that's about an aspect of Dragon Quest that I don't really care anything about, which is Die. And so I haven't really played it too much. I've also been playing Dragon Quest Heroes. I mentioned it's been a few weeks now. It was when you were gone. I had started replaying Dragon Quest Heroes. And that's really one of the big things I wanted to talk about today. Is because I promised people that I would talk about Dragon Quest Heroes again. That wasn't going to be like at one of our first episodes we ever did where your voice started going out and we were like, we'll come back to this later. And then we never got back to it. So a few weeks ago, I was like, hey, I'm going to come back to this, I promise, and finish talking. Because I was about halfway through the game at the time. I was talking about maybe trying to platinum it and that kind of thing this time around. So just for context, for people who didn't listen to that episode or haven't listened in a while, basically, I played this game in 2016. I was a new dad, just had my first baby ever, and super sleep deprived, played this, realized as I'm replaying it now that I just how sleep deprived I was because so much of this stuff felt new to me. And it really has. I don't know if it's just because it's been like 5 years and a lot has happened in those 5 years combined with that sleep deprivation or what. But for whatever reason, a lot of playing Dragon Quest Heroes has felt like I'm playing it for the first time. Like there's definitely things like gameplay mechanics I remember, but there's story beats and certain maps in the game that I'm man, I don't remember this. Did I I know I played this. I know I beat this game. I know I have trophies from that first playthrough saying I did all of these things that I just don't remember doing. And so I've been having fun going back and doing that. I will say I'm a little frustrated. I think I mentioned it on the podcast. It may have just been talking with some of the people in the Dragon Quest channel on Discord.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to get, you get a trophy if you can get all the characters to puff you. Okay. All of them. And it's apparently random. Like there's a lot of like, hey, this is a secret to getting this on the internet. But you know, almost always in the comments, people are like, yeah, this doesn't work for me. I tried them and I went deep into the recesses of like the internet, searching on forums and stuff for like maybe ways to get a puff to happen. And Doric, King Doric, who I mentioned like weeks ago, I could not get a puff from, still will not give me a puff. And it's keeping me from getting that trophy. And it's getting to the point that I'm like very, very frustrated from it. And apparently, and this kind of theory makes sense. Apparently, like most people agree that it seems to be based on like how much you use a character.
Okay.
And I don't use Doric too much. You know, he's like the third character you get in the game. And then once you start getting characters from like the actual mainline Dragon Quest games, it's like I'm gonna use a bunch of those instead of these characters that are, you know, just for Heroes. And
that makes sense.
Doric is slow. I don't think he has good combo, so I don't really use him very much. But I've been trying to keep him in my party a lot here now that I'm in, like approaching the like end game of Heroes again. And it's still won't happen. And it's just, that's been really frustrating, but I'm still having a good time with the game. And it's been really nice because some of the trophies that I didn't get last time were like, you know, you have to like completely get 100% of all the like monster medals complete like, you know, all the item drops and things like that. It's been really nice because some of the more like farmy type side quests that you get where it's like kill 200 sanguinis. It's like, it's kind of a Musou light game. And so, Yes, it's fairly easy to rack up 200 sanguini kills, but it's still going to take some time. So what I've been doing is giving the controller to Naomi.
Well, of course.
Who loves it and just runs around killing that while I like read in my Wheel of Time novels. And then every once in a while she'll ask me a question, I'll look up and answer it for her kind of thing. But that's been really nice. And I've been wanting my wife to get a picture of us because there is a photo of me. We had just moved down to Florida. We were living in our little like side room apartment, you know, one room thing. And there's a picture of me sitting on our little like sofa, love seat, recliner thing with a controller. Naomi is propped up in like one of those baby like breastfeeding pillows that looks kind of like a neck pillow because she was so little she couldn't sit up by herself yet. And she's sitting up like that, and I've got my PS4 controller, and I was playing Dragon Quest Heroes at the time because I beat it after we had moved down here to Florida.
Oh,
and even the photo of us like that sitting side by side, and I keep meaning to ask Grace to get a photo of us where we're sitting side by side playing Heroes now that Naomi's like 5 and a half.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because I think it would be a really neat thing to have side by side.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you would like, that I would like to frame. Like, that's the kind of thing you could shadow box, is like one picture up in one corner, the new one down in the other corner, and then like Dragon Quest Heroes disc and then the cover in the other two. Like, you could do something really cool crafty with that.
Yeah, because it was just, it's one of those big moments, you know, new baby, that's a life-changing thing.
Yes,
and in another way, Dragon Quest, that's the game that got me into Dragon Quest. That's a pretty life-changing thing.
I mean, it really is. Your like professional life has come in a lot of ways because of Dragon Quest. Like the way that you started, you know, blogging and writing and getting into online communities really helped you move into what you do as a living now. So, I mean, in a very real way, that precipitated where you are.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's been nice about playing Dragon Quest Heroes again, is because as I'm playing it, sometimes I just think about like where I was at that moment, like the stuff I do remember.
Yeah.
I think about like where I was at that moment and I'm just like, wow, you know, like this is like, you've come a long way, baby, to Fatboy Slim.
You're not wrong. I don't think that's not Fatboy Slim.
Yeah.
That's Virginia Slims.
What?
That's Virginia Slims. The you've come a long way, baby. Like it's cigarette ads.
That's the album from Fatboy Slim.
Then he took it straight from.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Yeah, Virginia Slims. Like that's like their whole thing. But yeah, Fatboy Slim took it from that. Then yeah, I see the album.
The Fatboy Slim album, that was like the one that had like Rockefeller Skank and like Praise You. I think was on that album. Weapon of Choice, was that on that one? I don't think Weapon of Choice was on it. I think that was their next one.
I don't know. I don't see Weapon of Choice on this one. Yeah. I don't see it on this one.
Yeah.
But that's like a like pop culture thing from decades ago where,
that's probably why I don't
like
know
you've
it.
Come a long way, baby. Yeah.
Because I was an impressionable late 80s, 90s kid. And that Fatboy Slim album was like a huge thing in like 1995. 1996. I don't know. Rockefeller Skank was like a huge thing.
Yeah, Rockefeller Skank was like, never really my thing. But yeah, it's weird that a pop culture reference like that can be like two different things and both correct. Like, that's neat. Because his is a pop culture reference back on the original advertisement.
Yeah, to me, it's from like a mid 90s album from Fatboy Slim. And to old farts like you. Hey. I know you're not really that much older than me, but you're just old enough that I guess you remember Virginia Slim ads doing that.
Well, I mean, it was in the 60s when they did that. Oh, okay. So, I mean, it wasn't like I remember that. I was born in 1983. It's like I don't have like firsthand experience with seeing these.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I started to say I don't even remember seeing a Virginia Slim's ad, but
I do, but not that one. But I remember seeing these like in passing.
Yeah.
But man, we got off on tangents today, didn't we?
It's okay. It's nice. It's just this whole episode is just it's reminiscing with Austin and BJ. Put on your shades, pour some black coffee, light up your Virginia Slims, and just chill, baby.
jar.
But yeah, so that is one thing though that it's just like it has been like I was thinking the other day because I lived in like super rural Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And this is probably maybe hard to believe from people who don't live in super rural Tennessee. But like the house that I lived in and that, you know, the house that we were living in when Naomi was first born, it was on well water. Like it had a well outside. It did not have a city water hookup. It had well water outside, no cell phone service, things like that. And like it was getting into the summertime. We had this newborn baby. We were having to be careful about like the well drying up, like we did every summer.
We never had to worry about that, but we had well water growing up.
Yeah,
we never had to worry about it drying up.
Yeah, and this was 2016. Keep in mind, this wasn't like 1884. And so, so I was thinking about that, you know, and just like, and you know, now I live in like a pretty big city.
Yeah,
in like the like
you have south, a pool boy
the south. It, I do have a pool. He's a pool man. He's older. He's a pool man. His name is Frank. He's a very nice guy. He's also a huge Alabama Crimson Tide fan. So we have things to talk about because on my dad's side of the family, everybody's a Crimson Tide fan. So I know Justin.
Oh,
I know just enough about it that I can like shoot the bull with our pool guy because of that. So
that's fair.
But yeah, he's a nice guy. But yeah, anyway, yes, there has been some life-changing events from 2016 to 2021. And Dragon Quest Heroes, even just, you know, as I'm playing it, I'm just reminded of things like that because I can remember, you know, I can remember taking down the, what is it? The Gigantus enemy that's at the beginning of that game with where you get in like the ballista and have to shoot at its eyes and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like for that, when I was replaying that a few weeks ago, I was thinking back to like playing that. It was like I flashed back in time and I could remember sitting there at the foot of the bed in our bedroom playing that on like our tiny little TV and like thinking, like, oh man, I hope Naomi doesn't wake up and like thinking like, oh, I need to like go make sure, you know, the well hasn't dried up today because I would usually check that in the afternoons.
Oh man.
And so I can like remember that stuff. And it's not necessarily bad memories. It's just like but it's not necessarily good memories either. and so it's just like, I don't know. So it's just, there's been different moments in Dragon Quest Heroes that's been like that for me. Mm-hmm. Because of playing it. And I think more than anything, I think more than the game itself, it's because of that was the game I played when like, you know, all these big life changing events were happening, moving and new baby. Those are like two big ones, right? Outside
and
of
and
like,
you quit your job. Like
yeah, that's true.
And like you quit your job. We had both left the SRC at that point as director and assistant director. So it was also that, oh crap, I quit my job. I have to, you know, work and support my family time as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I did have another job already, but yeah, I mean, out of like, I think the five like most stressful things in your life, I mean, that's three of them, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so Dragon Quest Heroes, it is like a callback to that era. And so it's just like, it's been interesting to play that. And just, it's been odd things that like I had forgotten, like the whole well thing that I'd kind of just pushed out of my memory that as I've been playing this game, I like have been like reminded of and everything. But but I still like Heroes and I still like it better than Heroes 2. I know that I'm definitely in the minority there just from pretty much everyone I've ever talked to about these games. But I know that Heroes 2 added some cool quality of life improvements, and yes, getting to explore some of those zones in Heroes 2. And, you know, I still like Teresa as a playable character better mm-hmm. than Aurora or Lucius, but just for whatever reason, like, I really like Heroes 1, and I think it's because it was simpler. Heroes 2 added in like vocations, different areas, the dungeons, like multiplayer type dungeons that you could go inside of and things like that. And it was just like, sometimes less is more. And while I do like some of those things that Heroes 2 added in, it's just Heroes 1. I like it. It's simple. It's good. And I'm right at, I don't know, I'm debating about how specific to be with some story spoilers here, but I'm right where there's a part in the game, people who've played this game will know what I'm talking about. There's a part in the game where you can go around if you want and replay through some stages just with harder enemies to get like the best weapon for certain characters.
Yeah.
And I've been going through doing those side quests to get like the best weapons for those specific characters. And so that's the part of the game I'm at. So I'm very close to the end. And like I said, I'm trying to platinum it. I don't know if I will, because I'm getting to the trophies where it's like you have to 100% all of the rare monster drops and like 100% all making all the accessories and things like that. The kind of pain in the butt trophies.
Yep, the ones I absolutely hate getting.
And I'm fine with doing it whenever it's like, whenever the trophy pops for getting most of them. Like I mentioned in Tales of Arise, where you get a trophy for viewing 300 skits, even though there's 320 in the game, where there's a little bit of wiggle room there. And like the owl trophy pops when you get 32 owls instead of 38. And so it's like, I like those better than like, yes, you have to get every single one 100% it. But I'm trying, and I'm going to be really upset if the only thing that keeps me from platinuming this trophy is Doric giving me a puff-puff, which is absurd. I fully understand. Just that whole sentence I just said is insane.
It's true.
but
eventually, you'll be able to get it. Even if it's random, it's going to be like me and 100%ing Ocarina of Time back when I was 14. Like, I didn't 100% it until I was like 17, 18, like right before I went to college, because I never could find the mask vendor in Hyrule Fields. Like, the mask seller was kind of a random spawn, and I never saw it when I was out there, and I would periodically go back and ride around and try to find it. And I'll never forget being on the horse. I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and I was just talking to her and running around in circles on Epona, and it happened, and I started screaming in happiness, and she was so confused, like me talking about it. But it's like, eventually that's going to happen. If it's random, you'll still get it. You just have to put the work in, and it sucks, but if it's random like that, and you can like play with you can play with him to get your puff-puff, you'll be able to do it at least. I believe in you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We still have a little bit more Dragon Quest-y stuff to talk about, but before we get into that, I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
Oh, we're so shameless, oh, we're so shameless, oh, we want you to join our community, Shameless Me.
So we have a Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM if you would like to help support this podcast. And just a real big thank you to all of our patrons, which keeps growing. And I'm happy that it keeps growing, that our little community has sprouted and grown into just a beautiful blossoming flower of patrons. And it's been really nice. Yeah. But I do have more than talking about us during this portion. There's a couple of things I did want to mention in this episode. Number one is that our friend Ryan Molina, who we've talked about, has been on the show a couple times as well, is doing a whole bunch of Dragon Quest X videos all this month of October. And so the first one, I think, went up or is about to go. I think it'll be up when this episode goes live. And then he's basically got one coming out like every week in October. And so be sure to check out that. It's also to help celebrate the 10-year anniversary that he's been doing Battle Geek Plus, his like YouTube and brand and everything, which it, just like, congratulations on that. 10 years. Like,
yeah, that's a lot. That's hard to do for consistent content creation.
Yeah, that's a huge milestone to hit. And so, and he's got like voice acting for the DQ10 videos. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, Gilbert Gottfried is in the at least one of the videos.
What?
Yeah, he got Gilbert Gottfried to say there are no plans for a Western release. I don't know what else he may have said, but in the trailer that Ryan put out for it, Gilbert Gottfried said that, and I even checked with him. I was like, is that really Gilbert Gottfried? And he said yes.
Wow. Why?
His exact words, I believe, were, it was expensive, but totally worth it.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Isn't it? But like, cool. Cool. The cool kind of crazy. Crazy like a fox. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's awesome. So be sure to check that out on his YouTube channel, on his Twitter account, all that stuff. It's going to be going on all month long. Also in October, we like to highlight fan art from time to time and tell people where they can find cool merch. But there's a lot of artists who draw Dragon Quest-y things every day through the month of October. It's called Gootober. And I don't know if we mentioned this last year or not, but if you go on like Twitter and look up hashtag Gootober, then you can see lots of cool art for like the one from yesterday, at least from when we're recording this, the one from yesterday was King Slime. So there were a lot of cool King Slimes. And I've been trying to retweet some of this from the DQFM account, because there's a lot of talented artists who, you know, participate in this kind of thing. And if you like seeing Dragon Quest fan art, like I do, this is a good way to do that. And there's just a lot of people who are posting things every single day this month. Again, it's hashtag Gootober, like G-O-O and then, you know, T-O-B-E-R, Goo and Tober, like, because it's slimes in October. You get it?
Gootober.
So check that out as well. I wanted to mention both of those things, kind of have double up on our community spotlight this week, because I don't think we did one last week. Both of those things are different, but still fun and Dragon Quest-y, and everybody should check them out.
Yeah.
We did get some Dragon Quest news this past week. Tokyo Game Show was this past weekend, and you and I had speculated that maybe we would get a little bit of Dragon Quest news from that. I mean, it seemed a given, but Square Enix being Square Enix was like, think again, boys. And they talked to us directly and said that.
They did.
Not a person from Square Enix, but just Square Enix. Like the mouth of the building opened up and was like, think again, boys. We did get a little bit of information about Dragon Quest X Offline. It has a release date now for February 26th, I believe, 2022. 2022, early 2022 is just stacked right now, because all the games that got delayed because of COVID are like coming out in the first like 3 weeks, 3 months rather, of 2022.
Right. Crazy how many things are going on.
And so right now it's Japan, and I know like Steam, it's Steam, PS5, PS4, and Switch. And right now I know Steam is region locked. The Steam version shouldn't be, the Switch version shouldn't be because it's Switch. But, you know, it does not have English subtitles or anything like that. I want to believe that this game, I know it's chibi. I'm a defender of the chibi style. I know, you know, some people hate it, especially the folks who have been playing DQ10 for a long time hate it. But I still like the chibi look fine. I mean, I would rather have the other version of the game, but you know, chibi's cute, whatever, I'll take it. And I want to believe that this game is coming over, is being released because it's coming out in the West eventually, rather than just like, hey, this is a chibi, cutesy, offline only mode to market to children in Japan whose parents maybe don't want them on the internet. And so I have to believe that the game is going to come West eventually.
Really hope so.
If it's February 2022, I think that probably means it would be like holiday 2022 or early 2023 before we would get it, just kind of based on how localization usually works for games like this.
And I'm more hopeful for the offline version with the chibi stuff than I am. I mean, the online version's never coming over. Like I've given up on that idea. But I can totally see them doing an offline version of at least, you know, the initial release of this. And I'm really hope that happens.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it's going to come West. I mean, I really think it will. It also was confirmed that it's just versions 1 and 2. So it's not all of 10, which again, we talked about this before. I mean, that's kind of expected. Like we kind of talked about that and expected that. Just with, you know, producers being like, hey, you know, Dragon Quest X would be cool in an offline only version like 3 years ago, you have to think they said this in like 2018, I believe, and work on this game was probably going on in 2018.
But yeah, it's being the first couple, I don't like they had mentioned that in 2018, and like this game had to have been in production in 2018 to be coming out in 2022.
That's my thinking, is that yes, this game is that, I can't remember the producer's name off the top of my head, but my thinking now is that like, yeah, this dude said that when this game had probably like just started development, or like the idea for this game being in development started. Because I mean, that's about a 4 year turnaround from, okay, this guy saying it, and then Miyake, Miyake. Anyway, so yeah, it's about a 4 year turnaround from him saying this and then the game releasing. It'll be about 4 years. And so it's like, yeah, that's probably about the time that all of this would have happened for it to be a chibi style and everything. And so I feel like this is because of that, this game is going to come out in the West. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe. But I mean, if you don't believe in something, I mean, what's the point, right?
It's true. I mean, you got to hope for something. I mean, the last couple of years have been so crappy. It's like you might as well, in every front, even video games, it's like, let's hope for something.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, what am I stuck with? A die mobile game I don't want.
Yeah. And a dark and brooding DQ12.
Maybe. Possibly. Darker, at least.
Darker, yeah.
I think that about does it for this week's episode. So thanks for just catching up with us, even though we talked about a whole lot of stuff just a little bit in this week's episode. It was still nice just to kind of catch up with you and hopefully with people listening too. Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can find me on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And you can find me on Twitter as @ProfessorBeej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And you should join us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com, or just find the link at geektogeekmedia.com.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.